Did you ever have a moment in your life where it seemed like no matter what you did, everything went wrong? No matter what could happen, everything went wrong. You thought things cannot get any worse than they are. Then they do, right? The floor falls out and you're like, oh my Lord, I know things can't get any worse than they are. And they do. You've been there, right? Well, tonight I want to share with you a portion of scripture, and we can see individuals in that very, very predicament. Tonight we're going to look at people where their individual lives didn't only hang in balance, but the history of mankind hung in balance. If you would like to, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and this is the moment in history where these people felt like no matter what they could do, everything went wrong. John chapter 20, verse 1, and it reads like this. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple, who was John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Peter arrived and went inside, and he saw the linens lying there, and the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and laid apart with the other wrappings. Tonight, as we look at this, Mary Magdalene, she ran to the tomb. She went to the tomb in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with perfume. It was a customary thing at that time. She was going to pay her respects. And as she went there to find the body, the tomb was opened up. The body was missing. And she immediately said, "Yay." Did she? We just read it. What did she do? She ran. She ran back to get the disciples. And what did she say? She said, "Hey, somebody stole the body of Jesus. It's not here. Come on." There was hopelessness in her voice. You see, what happened 7 days ago, they were arriving into the town with Jesus. They came to Jerusalem. And when they came, they saw everyone was doing what? Does anyone remember when they rode in 7 days prior to this Sunday? They were worshiping Jesus. Everybody loved Jesus. It was Palm Sunday. We celebrate that. People, in fact, were giving Jesus so much praise that as he rode up on a donkey, people began to take off their outer coats and they laid them on the ground. And they took palm tree branches and they laid them on the ground because they did not want Jesus' donkey even to touch the ground. Why? Because he was the king. And they said, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were worshiping him because they were the king. Now this is what Mary and the disciples just went through, right? That was good. They were good times. And then 2 days ago, on the day that she went to the tomb, something happened, right? The religious leaders turned everyone. If you don't know the story, the religious leaders of the time, who were called the Pharisees in the Bible and the Sadducees, they didn't like this guy showing up who claimed to be the Son of God. You know why? Because they had the monopoly on heaven. They had the monopoly on God. You understand? They were God's people, and if you wanted to go to God, or if you wanted to get close to God or get forgiveness of your sins, you had to go to the religious leaders at the time. And you had to offer offerings that you had to buy off of them. And you had to, in order to buy your offerings off of them, you actually had to take your money and exchange it to temple currency before, and they beat you on that price. And then you went and bought outrageous pigeons and stuff to sacrifice to God that were charged way up higher than any other price. And Jesus came in and he started saying that forgiveness is free. He came in and he said that you can be forgiven of all of your sins. All you have to do is call out. And when he did that, they got mad and they decided they wanted to kill him. They had to get rid of the Son of God. This guy who claimed to be the Son of God. So the religious leaders, they bribed Judas, one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the top 12. They bribed him and they said, "Here, for some money, why don't you tell us where Jesus hides out at night? And then he did it for 30 pieces of silver. He gave away Jesus' secret location. They went there where he hides out. They arrested him. They brought him into their phony courtroom, which was illegal, and they weren't even allowed to have court. They found witnesses who they paid to say Jesus was saying terrible things about God and that he was a liar. And they tried Jesus and they judged him as being a low-down, dirty, evil liar who did miracles by the devil. That's what they did to Jesus. He was in the Roman government arrested. At this point, Peter, that night, did something that would change his life forever. Because that night, Peter, who told Jesus, I will never leave you and I'll never deny you, while he's waiting to see what they're going to do with Jesus in the courtroom, someone walks over and says, Pete, hey, you, yeah, you're one of his boys, aren't you? Huh? I remember seeing you with Jesus. And Peter said, No, I don't even know that man. I don't even know him. Another person said, hey, I know you. You were with Jesus. I saw you when Jesus did those miracles. You were with him. And he says, no, I do not know the man. Walked away. A third time, a little girl. Hey, you were with Jesus. And your accent even gives you away. You were from Galilee, where Jesus is from. His response, the man who said, I will never leave you, Jesus. His response was, I don't bleeping know the man. The Bible said he cursed. I don't even know the man. Peter denied Jesus. I'm laying this background. Picture what they felt that Sunday morning when the body was gone. That's what Peter had on his mind. After this happened, Jesus was beaten. He was stripped down. He was mutilated by a whip with hunks of glass and bone thrown, ripped, pulled. Has anybody seen The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie? Mutilated. After all of this, Peter had the now bloody, beaten Jesus standing, trying to stand on top of his platform. The people were downstairs looking up. And Jesus can barely stand because he's been beating and he has holes in his body. And I'm sure he looks nothing like we could think of. Pilate's heart was a little bit broken for Jesus. And he says, what should I do with him now? And at that time, they would have this thing where they would let somebody free from prison to celebrate Passover so the Jews didn't rebel against the Romans. And on that day, he said, you know what? They have to let Jesus go if I offer Jesus or this murderer. And he says, who should I release? Should I release Jesus or Barabbas, the guy who's the most wanted murderer? Do you remember what the people said? They began to shout, release Barabbas. And Pilate was struck. What? We think, surely you don't want Barabbas on the streets. He's a cold murderer. He's crazy. Release Barabbas. Then what should I do with this man, Jesus? And they shouted, crucify him. Crucify him. And then they took Jesus and they made him carry a huge, like, railroad tie, a giant beam, who was already beaten and couldn't even stand up, and they kicked him and beat him and made him walk down the road with a railroad tie as he was falling over. They took him and made him walk up the hill where they were going to crucify him. They laid him down, stretched open his hands, and put nails right in his hands, in that very board that they made him carry. And then they crossed his feet and nailed his feet. Then they lifted him up, and as the weight of his body hung on the nails, They dropped the cross in the hole. Can you imagine? He cried out in agony. Jesus was there, hanging on the cross. And those religious leaders, what, they thought it was over. They thought, we killed this guy who was trying to take over our monopoly. My thought is this, and take this back now. We opened up with Mary and Peter and John going to the tomb. How do you think they felt at this moment? Do you see that? Can you feel their agony? Can you feel how dark it must have been when they came in? This is the king. This is the Son of God, right? He heals people. The people born with no legs have legs. Blind people are healed. When we're hungry, Jesus took 2 loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. Did all these good things. They killed him brutally. And they go to the tomb to just pay their last respects like we would do with putting flowers. And they're like, somebody stole the body. I can't even believe this. Oh my gosh, when does this never end? Just when I thought things could never get worse, they just did. They just did. And Peter, he betrayed his best friend who he said, I would never betray. And not only did they murder him and he could never make it right, he lived with regrets and he felt, I can never make that right. They killed him. What can I say? I'm sorry? They killed him. And he went there, and now their thought is, what are they doing with the body? They're mocking the dead body of Jesus somewhere. Can you feel their hopelessness? But this is awesome. Just when they thought the floor fell and things can't get any worse, John 20, verse 8. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed, for until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Jesus said, and this is amazing, he said, guys, they're going to kill me. I'm going to be dead, and I'm going to rise on the third day. Okay, Jesus. They thought, well, he's speaking in some kind of riddle thing, and I can't figure out that riddle. Okay, we'll move on. Let's hang out, Jesus. And it never even clicked until finally, after Peter was in, John walked in. Wait, Jesus said this. Bam. And he knew, and he believed. And then they went home. I just think that's fantastic. They're like, oh yeah. And I can picture Peter just looking up, because I think he was probably a little slow. And John's got it, and Peter's like, hey, what do you think, right? And just when they thought things could never get worse, just when things were at their darkest, the sun came up over the mountain. On this Easter morning, all of a sudden, things got a whole lot better, right? All of a sudden, things were okay. It was a new day for them. If you look down at verse 11, and we'll just go through this fast, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. See, they went home, and then Mary comes to the tomb, and she still doesn't know that Jesus rose. She saw two white-robed angels sit, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus' body was laying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't even recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll go get him. If you move Jesus' body, just tell me, and I'll put him back. Let's end this disgraceful act with the body of my Lord. And Jesus said, Mary. And she looked up, and she knew it was him. Then Jesus says, go find my brothers and tell them. And then in verse 18, she found them and said, I have seen the Lord. Right here we see Mary. It was as dark as it could ever get, and then even worse. Then all of a sudden, Jesus was there in her life as well. Jesus was there. And guess what? In that darkness, it was like on that Easter morning, man, when the sun was coming up, all of a sudden the Son of God was also shining and shone into her life. And she was changed. Can I tell you, she was never the same again. Her life was changed. She was in darkness, but now the darkness wasn't there anymore because Jesus showed up. And here's how we can apply this to our lives, and we're going to bring this around now. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through now, I'm sure there's some people in this room, you just feel like, man, it just can't get any darker. No matter what you're going through, I'm telling you that the sun, S-O-N, wants to rise in your life and get rid of your darkness. Just like he did with Mary, just like he did with Peter and John, that Jesus wants to come in and get rid of the darkness in your life. The Bible says this, that Jesus is the light of the world. He takes away all darkness. Jesus is the hope that you need. If you're down and out and you need hope, I'm telling you, you will not find hope anywhere else apart from Jesus. Trust me, you will not. Jesus is hope. Jesus is the peace you desire. If you need peace in your life, you will not find peace outside of Jesus. You just will not. There are so many people that spend their lives trying to. You just will not. It won't happen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's one of his names. If you need peace, he's the only one who can give it to you. Jesus is the purpose. If you're looking for purpose in your life, why, God, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Jesus is your purpose. And apart from him, you're stumbling in darkness. Apart from him, you have no purpose because he is that. If you need strength, if the darkness you're going through, you just feel like, God, I need strength, Lord. I just can't do it anymore. Jesus is the strength you need. The Bible says that he is your portion. Jesus can provide everything that you need. He's your provider. He's your deliverer. If you're going through tough times, he is your deliverer. Of all those things, he wants to be those things for you. You can have hope. Tonight, if your life is full of darkness, I want you to know that you can have hope. If you can relate too much to Mary and too much to Peter, maybe you have regrets in your life that you just wish you could get rid of. And you just feel like, I can't even change my regrets. I'll tell you what, Jesus can bring light into your dark situation and change your life, and only Jesus. How can you get Jesus to come and be your light and take away the sin and take away the stuff in your life that separates you from him? You could say, God, I've done too much. Pastor Jim, you have no idea what I've done in my life. You have no idea the things I've said. You have no idea the things I've done. I want you to know there's this one verse, and I love it. And if you come all the time, you will hear it maybe every week. It's 1 John 1:9. I love this verse. It says this, that if we confess our sins, if we fess up to God, the next part says, he is faithful. He's just. And he will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we give money, no, if we what? Confess our sins. If you do that, if you go to God, and I look at it as ABC as well, if you go to God and you A, admit you're a sinner, say, God, you know the stuff I've done in my life. Lord, you've seen me while I was doing it. You knew my intention, my motive. God, I admit that to you. I confess those sins to you. And B, you believe that he died and rose again, which we know that. God, I believe that you died and you rose again and that you died in my place. So C, I confess all my sins to you and I commit my life to you. Forgive me and help me to follow after you. And if you say that, God will change your life. If we can bow our heads right now just for a moment. I want to give you the opportunity for that tonight. And this is what I'm going to do. If you feel like right now you need to get your life right with God, I'm not going to call you out. What I want you to do is simply this. Call out to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I fess up. Jesus, you've seen what I've done wrong, and Lord, I confess the sins, these things to you, and you just fill in the blank. Say, but Lord, I believe that you died and you rose again. And you died for my sins and not for your own. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me clean. And help me to follow you and know what it means to be a real Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a Christian, if you've gotten out of touch with the Lord, I want you to know that Jesus is still the light of the world. And he still wants to be your light. And he still wants to just work through you. He is still the hope that you'd need. If you're a Christian and you have no hope and you've been given up, draw back to Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me to feel your hope again. If you've lost the peace that you used to have, something's wrong. And you know what? Jesus hasn't walked away. Jesus doesn't move. Sometimes we get busy and we lose track and we don't spend the time with him that we need, right? Sometimes we just get busy, even doing good stuff, and all of a sudden we're frantic and we don't have the peace that we should have. We don't feel the purpose. We feel like, God, Lord, I'm going through something. I need help. And you forget he's your deliverer. Or you forget he's your portion. Tonight, if you're already a Christian, you feel like you're still going through stuff, I want to encourage you, seek God. Press into him afresh and anew. God is still all of those things in your life. And if we run around and we forget that he's our peace, we're living outside of his plan for our lives. Right? If we stop trusting him because we've walked away from Jesus, I don't even mean like committed big sin. I just mean like you just haven't talked to him in a couple days. And all of a sudden he just feels distant. Draw back to God. Ask him to fill you afresh and anew. It only takes 24 hours for your fire for God to die, to grow cold. Spend time with God every day and talk to him. And in closing, God wants us to live a life of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants to bless you. God wants to do awesome things in your life. It's a new day for you. If you've made a commitment to Jesus, it's a new day for you. If you've just said, God, I just need to feel you again, it's a new day for you. Just like on that Easter morning when things looked bleak, it was a new day. Their lives were changed and they were never the same again. It's a new day for you personally. It's a new day for us as a church. It's a new day that we can start and we can grow and get to know each other. And we can help change the community and share the love of Jesus with other people. It's a new day. God is doing new things. The Lord is good. Trust him. Seek him. God is good. I'm going to close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this night. God, I thank you for what you've done, Lord. I just pray you would just continue to work in our church, Lord, and in our lives as people. Thank you for the new day you've given us. Thank you for hope. Thank you for peace. Thank you for joy. Be praised, God, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.